Welcome to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Hi, I'm Megan, and this is the podcast where I call up friends and we talk about snacks, we talk about touring, we talk about music, sometimes we talk about the music industry, sometimes we talk about sheep, sometimes we talk about songs. Today's guest is Aurora Wolf, and she's awesome. She's made some artwork for me before in the past. She's a great songwriter, and her band Dump Babes, well, hey, shameless self-promotion plug here, they are going to be opening for my band and I on November 26th in Regina and November 27th in Saskatoon. So check out my website, megannash.ca, for more information on that. Okay, now I'm done promoting my album release show, so let's get back to what this podcast is about, and that is talking about landfills. This podcast is about talking about songs. Oh my gosh, what an intro. Should I re-record this or should I just roll with this chaos? Today's guest is the talented Aurora Wolf. I'm sticking with it. Here we go. Okay, Aurora Wolf, I'm so happy that you are taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with me. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I saw you briefly at, well, not briefly really, but like, you know, still weird COVID times from afar, but not really from afar. But I saw your set, which was amazing. And then we got to hang out for a little bit at Chesterfest.
Yeah, it was nice to be at a festival again.
Yeah.
And also to be playing it was really cool.
Yeah, that was my first time at that festival. Was that your first Chesterfest experience?
It was. Yeah, it exceeded my expectations.
So for the listeners that did not go to Chesterfest this year, Chesterfest is in Prince Albert, and it is what it sounds like. There's a bunch of Chesterfields, and there's a music festival, and it's very, very cool, very cozy vibe. And the people that put it on, they're just like really kind, great people. So I was super happy to get to catch your set. And like, that's like how we planned our day around the Dump Babes set. We're like, we need to get there in time for the Dump Babes.
So that's so funny, because we're like opening up the festival and we're like, it's pretty early, but some people showed up.
Yeah.
Some like fans in PA, which was kind of surprising.
Well, I think it makes sense to me, because you know, you're writing great songs, you're putting great music out there. I listened to your latest single. Is that the latest single that you released this year? Is that off an upcoming album, or is that like a one-off single?
Both in a way.
Yeah.
We are doing like a remaster, or not a remaster, like a remix kind of it on the album. Just because we wanted to play with it a little bit more. And also the context of it like has changed a little bit, because it's about like one of my brothers like getting out of jail during COVID. Ooh. And how like it was a really strange experience, like leaving this like confinement into this like different realm of confinement. And then we had like another year of COVID, and he broke his parole. So at the same time, the next year, he was like getting out of jail again, but in this like different sphere of COVID. So we wanted to make something a little more like dark sounding and like kind of disorienting. So that was, yeah, it's hard to tell which one I like prefer. They both have very different feels to them.
So, but the other one's not released yet. Like that, you're going to save that one for the record, like the different feel one?
Yeah.
Has your brother heard this song?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he brought it up to me once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He kind of laughed about it, but I don't really think he like listened to it super carefully. Which is okay, I guess. I don't know. I don't think it's that personal of a take on it, but my mom definitely was like asking me about it a lot too, which is really funny.
Yeah. I was just like thinking, and I'm like, has anyone I've written a song about talked to me about it afterwards? And yeah, that was like a big thing with like my, last relationship, was like, he didn't like it when I wrote songs about him, which was really difficult for me because I thought that was like a real like form of flattery. It's like, no, I care about you so much that I'm like writing about my experience with you. Don't you think that's cool? You know, like maybe that's like really, I don't know, ego focused of me to feel that way. But like, I was like, this is like, aren't you flattered? And he was like, no. So that was like, as a songwriter, that was kind of like, and as someone who writes a lot about relationships, I was like, this is going to be hard. And it was. And then I remember I went back in time and I was like, well, if I can't write about you, because I love to write about relationships and my experiences within relationships, so I'm going to go back in time. And he also had issues with that. So yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was... So also, I think he just didn't like my music. And I, also, I know that because he told me that. This is like,
oh
just...
my God.
I'm just starting...
I guess.
I'm just starting off this, like, this conversation with, like, a little trauma dump. I'm like, yeah, well, he didn't like it when I wrote songs about him. And he didn't like it when I wrote songs about other people. Turns out he didn't like it when I wrote songs. Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
I like it when you write songs, though.
Thank you,
okay.
Aurora. Thank you. How long have you been writing songs for?
Probably around, like, 6-7 years now.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, weed out the ones that I wrote when I was like 18 out of my set, but the band is like, no, we should still play these. And I'm like, I don't want to sing my cringy like high school songs that I wrote, even if they are bangers. Like, it makes me feel weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting though. Like if they're like super excited about those songs still, like that must feel kind of good, you know, to have other people like invested in, like to believe in them like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Like it does feel good, but also I'm like, no, like listen to the new stuff I wrote. Like it's so much more fun. I'm like trying to like distract them. Like, disco songs.
Yeah.
What about those ones?
Yeah. No, that's your set at PA was super fun. And for the listener that doesn't know this, Aurora is originally from Mortlach. I'm originally from Mortlach. And now in the Dump Babes, you have Skylar Cafrata, who's also originally from Mortlach. And for the listeners, sorry, there's like so much. I should have done like a, like in order to get this, understand this conversation, you need to know this like intro off the top. But Mortlach is a village about like roughly like, I don't know, 300-350 people off the Trans-Canada Highway in Saskatchewan.
Yep. Home of the Mortlach Fiddlers.
Home of the Mortlach Fiddlers and Aurora Wolf and Skylar Cafrata and Frank Felt and myself.
Wait, Frank Felt's from Mortlach too?
Frank Felt, who is a wonderful poet who's based out of Moose Jaw now, he's originally from a farm near Mortlach, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
What's in the water?
I don't know. I don't know, but it's like, it's really exciting for me though to like just to see like when I first got your album, it was when I saw you play at Bushwhackers in Regina right before the pandemic really came into effect in Canada. So that was like in February or March in 2020, like really close. Cause I feel like that was like my last live show maybe.
Yeah, it was very close to the beginning of the pandemic, like maybe like a couple of weeks before.
Yeah.
Because we also played like the Chesterfest auditions. Like I think it was the last show in Saskatoon before like everything shut down. So it was like really close to that, I remember, because we were pretty tired from just playing all these shows. And then we didn't get to play anymore for like 2 years. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. What a sad, sad, traumatic time. But I remember really liking your set at Bushwhackers. And I bought your album there and I listened to it in my minivan. I was just like so stoked that you were making art, that you were writing these songs. And I was like, because like I knew you when you were I don't know, a little kid. now I sound like that, you know, that older person I never wanted to be. I knew you back when. But I did. I worked at the KJ Fine Foods, and I remember you being like a kid coming buying stuff or whatever from the store.
Yeah. Also, like, Mortlach had like a lot of like, how do I word this in a way that doesn't sound super weird? I was going to say like intergrade like things going on, but that sounds so strange. It's like a preschool to a grade 12 school, and we often got like paired up like a grade 12 with a grade 2 for like your reading buddy once
yeah,
a week or something.
Reading buddy. Yeah.
which isn't something that like a lot of people outside of small towns have that experience of like knowing people that are 10 years older than them in their school.
Right. Yeah, that's such a good point. Yeah. And it was such a small school too. You know, I think like when I graduated, because Skylar graduated, I think the year before me. And then when I graduated, there were 10 kids in the class and like 84 kids in total in the whole school. So yeah, it was just like really, really small. And which is like, it's funny to me that I wasn't better friends with Skylar. I should really ask him. He's been on the podcast before, but I should ask him like, why weren't we friends? why weren't we better friends? But I know the answer already. It's because he was way cooler than me.
Aw.
Yeah.
That seems unlikely.
No, it was true though. Like I was really lost for a while there. Like I had different ambitions and perspectives because of my environment, you know, like I grew up on a farm and I was going to be like, oh, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. And like, I also was like a bit more like, I think he went to Moose Jaw on the weekends where I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, like, have that. Like, I didn't know, like, the cool kids that played music in Moose Jaw. You know? Where he did.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. You were, like, a pure Mortlach soul. You weren't defiled by the shenanigans of Moose Jaw on the weekends.
No, I was, like, trying to, like, impress, like, my classmates by writing songs about like Pilsner and stuff. Like I was really just wanting friends and like approval from my like the only social group I knew, and that led to a lot of like when you were mentioning that you're still playing songs from when you're 18, your band's like super excited about them. Like if I tried writing, if I got my band to play songs that I wrote when I was 18, they would be like Megan, we legally can't do this, or I don't know, they'd be like we morally can't do this, and they would get lawyers just to back them up because that's how bad the songs were.
Yeah. I don't know, I remember that first CD because I got one. I don't know where I got it from, but I remember playing it so much and it was awesome, it ruled.
That first CD, and I'm not even going to mention the names of the songs because it's a little bit embarrassing for me, not going to lie, but I sold that CD. It had like one song on it for $7.
Back in the times when music was profitable.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And it was like one song. Like Hit Clips were a better deal than that. Do you remember Hit Clips?
Oh my gosh, yes. I think I had one. I think I bought it at Liquidation World.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, Hit Clips. I remember thinking there would be the full song, and it was, you know what? It was advertised appropriately. It was a clip of a hit, and I had, you know, 30, 40 seconds of like Faith Hill, Just Breathe, and that's...
That's all you need. What are you talking about?
Honestly, yeah, like that chorus is what that it's the chorus in that song. Like that's what you tune in for.
That's what you're paying for.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Liquidation World and Moose Jaw.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Yeah. Someone told me that it used to be like a roller rink.
Whoa.
Yeah. Just like a big concrete roller rink. And I was like, that sounds way cooler.
Yeah.
Than buying like expired dry goods.
In bulk.
In bulk.
Oh my goodness. Just hit clips and expired flour. Oh my gosh. Where are you recording the new music?
We're recording it with Barrett Ross at, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm blanking on his studio name. He's gonna murder me. Actually, he'll probably just frown sternly at me. He just changed the name of it and I'm really embarrassed now.
No, it's all good. I'm putting you on the spot too, you know, but like, you're recording with Barrett Ross. That's cool. He did sound for us at, Ness Creek this summer. And
yeah.
I like Bear. I like his sense of humor. It's like he's got this like dry Moose Jaw sense of humor to him, you know.
Also another Moose Jaw alum.
Yep.
Oh, Rec Hall Studios. It's Rec Hall Studios. Okay,
very good. Very good. Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. And like, so is Skylar gonna be playing on the new he's playing on the new stuff then? Is he playing on the latest single or
no. That was Derek Ferrier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Skylar's playing on a few songs of the new album. So we like went in and ripped some studio stuff a couple of weeks ago, just like little tweaks we wanted to make. We're like, do some weird stuff, just be weird.
Nice.
And it was weird. So we got what we wanted.
Oh, that's excellent. I feel like you're producing in like a similar way to me at times. Just do something weird.
Yeah, just be weird. Yeah. I'm really thankful that we asked Barrett to produce it because I truly have no idea what I'm looking for most of the time, but I'm very good at saying no to things that I don't like, which is probably makes you the most frustrating person to work with.
Well, yeah, no, I don't know though. I can so relate to that. I was actually speaking to another pal a couple weeks ago about this, about how it's like I, you know, as someone who likes to self-produce, how to have like a better idea of what I want instead of after people put all this time and effort into takes, then and then me cutting it after the fact. Because again, it's like I feel like a lot of like even like arrangement ideas would come after all the parts are done, you know, like all that energy has been put in. And then I'm like, no. So to have that foresight would be really cool. And I feel like I'm getting better, but I'm not where I want to be yet as far as like music production foresight skills go, you know?
Yeah, I'm down with that. I feel similar. But then some things I'm like, no, this is going to be like an ABBA spaghetti Western song and I'm unshakable on that. And everyone's like, that sounds like it's going to be bad. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. And then it happened. So like, that was cool.
I love that. I love that. Is that a song on the new record?
Yes. I forget what it's called, but it is on the new record. I've been like listening to a lot of disco. I find when like things are really dark, I don't want to write like sad music. I want to write like upbeat, like pop music. So it's not just like depressing, rehearsing them constantly. So I feel like a lot of this album is like really like poppy, disco-y, kind of like nonsensical. But then I was going through all the songs and I was like, oh, actually this is like some pretty like contextually, it's like quite dark.
Did you write the majority of the songs like recently, like during COVID, or were some of them before? Or?
I think I wrote all of them during COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there wasn't any of them that have been not during COVID, which was pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I went through kind of like a slump of like, okay, wrote all these songs for this album. And then I was like, I don't have to write songs in my life again. So I just started writing again because I was like, oh, that's something I haven't done in a long time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how to end this song. I'm going to listen to like a bunch of like ABBA and like see how they end their songs. And the audacity of them, they end every single one of their songs with a fade out. Every single one of them.
So can we expect some studio fades on the new record?
I think there's one, but I don't know. Maybe the next album that we'll do, every single one will fade out.
Nice. Nice.
Because apparently that's acceptable.
Heck yeah. Oh man, there's something about just every now and then, just a nice studio fade. It's just, and then the melody never stops and it's supposed to help it get stuck in the listener's head. I've heard that before, you know? A little tip. I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't done a studio fade in a long time. Jeez, the record's already released. Ah. Oh well. Next one.
You should just get a remix of your album that every song ends with a studio fade.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. Just get like a disco remix of the record and it's all studio fade. That's a great idea.
Remix by DJ Nash.
Yeah. Actually, funny you say that. That was supposed to be my name.
Like in reality?
Yeah. If I had been a male baby, they would have named, my parents wanted to name me Derek James Nash so they could call me DJ Nash.
That's amazing. That should definitely be your DJ name if you ever take it up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Derek, just Derek James though. But like, yeah, it's weird. Like my parents, I think they kind of party a little bit, you know, they never did when I was growing up, but like, I think they have it in them. Like if they wanted to, you know, name their kid DJ Nash as, yeah, it's just interesting. It's interesting to me. Like disc jockey Nash. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, I was born and they named me after a soap opera character. So there you go.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it would be kind of like, I kind of like the name of, or the idea of like naming a child like after, you know, an ancestor, after, you know, somebody in your family tree or whatever, but no, you know, I got a soap opera. That's okay. And then is it some kind of movie? And I remember watching the movie as like a teenager and kind of being like confused why they would be inspired by that character, but also it was the late 80s in Mortlach. Like it was, everyone's name is Megan. You know,
every single person.
Everyone born in the late 80s was named Megan. Everybody. And you know, speaking of Mortlach, in the school where there was like 85 kids, I'm pretty sure there was like at least 3 Megans.
Really?
Yeah. If Mortlach had a better math program, I could tell you the statistics. But I'm not very good at math. And we had like a new math teacher every year in high school. I'm not trying to point the blame on that, but put the blame on that. It's me. It's not. But that was also just a fun fact about Mortlach.
Did you ever have the thing at Mortlach happen to you? Like, did your parents go to Mortlach?
No, they didn't. So my mom went to Briarcrest School, like not in Karenport, like actual the town of Briarcrest. And then she graduated high school in East End. And then my dad went to school in Moose Jaw and then bought the farm near Mortlach in like 70, in the 70s. But they, so no. But what about you?
Oh. Well, my mom went to Mortlach and her name's Ursula, and Mrs. Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. She taught my mom. And so when I came around, she would always call me Ursula. And the same thing, like happened to like all the Campbell boys too. Oh, like yeah. They always get called, like everybody was always getting called. They're like, brother's name or like their mom's name. And I found it so infuriating when I was a kid because teachers were always yelling at me because I like wasn't like responding to the wrong name that they were calling me. I'm like, my name's Aurora.
Yeah. Don't yell at me. You are the problem here. Not me. Oh, this is a weird memory. Were you in the school gymnasium when the teachers got me to dress up as an elf and run around the gym?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, actually, I need to rephrase that. I went to school dressed up as an elf because I like to dress up for holidays when I was in school. And remember the start of this conversation was like, I just wanted friends so badly, so I wrote songs about Pilsner. It's like, well, no wonder you had a trying time, Megan. But anyways, that being said, if you're listening and you like to dress up for holidays, let it happen. You know, be you. I was me, and that's fine. And if people can't handle me dressing up for holidays, then they're not my true friends anyways.
Exactly.
So, but I went to school dressed up as an elf, and then there was a Christmas, like a holiday movie happening in the gymnasium, and the teachers were like, oh, Megan, you're dressed up as an elf, conveniently. Would you, because the kids are watching this show in the dark, would you just like run around the gym once, like skip around the gym? I was like, okay. Because I was a natural performer. Just kidding.
It kind of sounds like a B horror movie. Like,
I just like.
What happened to the children after?
Well, I don't. I left. I was running. I was skipping. You know. So I just kept on going. No looking back. You know. Just yeah. That was what my part of my life was like in Mortlach. On that weird note, we need to take a bit of a break.
Okie dokie.
You are listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. And today's guest is Aurora Wolf from Dump Babes. You are listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Now more of my conversation with today's guest, Aurora Wolf from the band Dump Babes. Okay, and we're back. And in the first half of this conversation, we talked a lot about Mortlach. And then during the commercial break, Aurora disclosed to me that she, in fact, grew up on a sheep farm.
Yeah. The Mortlach community pasture.
Oh, cool. Okay. Like, so I want to know, what is it like to raise sheep?
Difficult. Sheep are like really dumb. Aww. So as far as like animals go, they kind of need to be like constantly monitored. Like in the summer, sometimes they'll just be like out in the field and they'll try to scratch their ear and they'll end up on their backs and then they'll just bloat up and die.
Oh no.
If you don't like save them and write them, like put them back standing. And they like wade into swamps all the time. And lambing season is always pretty wild. Me and my grandma used to sleep in the barn for like a month every time it was lambing season, because you have to go out every couple hours and like check on who's had their lambs, and you have to put them in like a 4x4 pen. Because if you don't, they'll just like go crazy. And some of them will try to claim like 4 lambs. And like some of them will be like, none of these are mine. And someone will be like, one of these is mine, but the other one isn't. So you kind of have to just like organize them so they like, because they can't organize themselves.
Oh my goodness. I can't relate to the experience of raising sheep. I grew up on a mixed farm. We had cows and farmland, but I can the way you're describing some of the sheep, like their temperament, I'm like, oh, I can relate. Actually, I had a similar Mortlach experience to some of your sheep by the sounds of it, you know, just wading into swamps,
falling down, needing help, getting confused. That's my teen years. Yeah, those. Well, that's me when I was a teenager. Yep.
Yeah, and then also we were a community pasture. So what that means is like we didn't own our farm. It was land owned by the government, and essentially it was a like reclamation project. So there was a bunch of leafy spurge, and the only animal that eats that is sheep. Mm. Cows are too picky. So we boarded like a bunch of other people's sheep. So we're taking in upwards of like 7,000 head.
What?
Yeah, like every summer of other people's sheep, and then kind of like babysitting them all summer and grazing them. But a big part of my childhood was raising orphan lambs. Mm. So a lot of the time I said like sheep can't organize themselves. So some of the babies just get like, nobody will take them. So you have to bottle feed them like 3 to 4 times a day. And it's super annoying and it takes a really long time. So all the people who boarded their sheep would generally just give me their orphan lambs. So sometimes I had like little herds of like lambs that I was bottle feeding like 4 times a day in the summer. And then I'd like sell them at auction in the fall. Like my grandma would be really responsible and like put it in like an RSP for me.
Aww.
But they get really attached to you. So I get off the bus and like walk down my laneway and get like a little herd of sheep running up to me.
Oh, that is so wholesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cute. But like I said, like it took so long. You're like trying to get all your lambs fed before you catch the bus at like 7 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's a lot. Oh, my goodness. A good friend of mine, Kelsey Chabot, she also grew up with sheep. And one time, oh, this was such a bad experience, but the good thing that came out of it is I feel like I really bonded with Kelsey. But one time I had Shiloh at a show, just at a show, and the sound tech after sound check came up to me and like held up this block of rat poison. And it was like, he's like, there are bite marks in this. It's not wet, but we don't know, like Shiloh might've gotten into it. And this was a building too, that had dogs in it quite frequently. So I was quite surprised. And even the people that run the building were like, yeah, this wasn't us. Like this must be really old. But I was like, so, and like, the dogs that had also been in the building before, I think were quite larger than Shiloh. Like he's a little guy. So, but I called the vet just in case he did ingest it and get the instructions on what to do. And we did have to make Shiloh throw up, but Kelsey helped me. And like, I remember she was doing this one technique with his throat that she like learned through getting like sheep to the lambs to bottle feed or something. Like she was, yeah, I don't know. Oh, that was such a bad night though. But I do feel like Kelsey and I bonded, but poor little Shiloh. And then I was just going through his puke with my hands, and everyone was kind of grossed out by that. But like, there is this part of me that like, maybe I would have probably been grossed out if I had seen, like if I was to witness someone else doing that with their pet. But like, there is this part of me that's just like, gloves are coming off. Well, I didn't have gloves on, I just mean like metaphorically or whatever. Like gloves are coming off, I'm getting in there, like I am this little critter's mother, if you will, parent, if you will, and I'm just getting in there and looking after my dog. So I do a bunch of gross stuff now, and it does not faze me, you know.
Yeah, well, things that you love aren't as nearly as gross as things that you don't love, I guess.
That's the biggest thing that folks can get from this episode today. Those are words to live by.
It's not love if you think they're disgusting.
Yeah. Aww. No, that's true. That's true. I didn't find any, if anyone wants to know the follow-up to the story, I did not actually find any chunks of rat poison. Again, I don't know if he didn't ingest it, and he still had to go on a treatment of vitamin K just in case.
Nice.
And well, he's healthy and happy.
I'm glad it worked out for him and you. Some healing and some growing along the way.
Yeah, thanks, Aurora. Yeah, that was a couple years ago now. Yep. Yeah. Oh gosh, I've learned a lot having a dog, let me tell you. Having an older dog. Yeah. Where did the band name Dump Babes come from?
It was Eric's idea. And it was based off the story that he went to like the landfill to drop some stuff off, and for some reason a bunch of his friends went with him. And it's like one of their friends was like yelling, like, go into the dump to find some dump babes, like go into the beach to find some beach babes. And I'm obsessed with garbage, so he thought it was like a fitting name. And at first we played a show as Bob Carburetor and the Super Fast Pontiacs, but it's like unpronounceable and nobody knows how to spell carburetor. So we dropped that one really quick and we're like, no, we're just gonna go with Dump Babes. Which some people are like, oh, it doesn't sound like it's about garbage, but I guess it's what you make of it.
When you had to take like garbage to the dump growing up, like which dump did you have to go to?
There was like a landfill really close to the farm that we always went to. I don't remember. I think it was the Karen one. It wasn't the Morlock one.
Okay, that's interesting, because growing up, we had to go to the Park Bag dump.
Oh.
So we also...
How did Park Bag have a dump? There's like 5 houses there.
Yeah, but there's a lot of folks like us in the community, right? Like, so it served a lot of farmers around there. So it was just north of Park Bag, and... yeah, I think a little northwest of Park Big, and I think it's closed now, but I remember like that was a big outing, you know, going to the dump, you know?
Yeah.
It was going exciting.
To the dump ruled.
Yeah.
You could also like when dumps used like those small town dumps too, you'd like find weird stuff.
Yeah.
Be like, you're coming home with me.
Yeah. Yeah. it felt safer to do that back then, you know, like it was like set up in a way where it was just like, yeah. Easier to do that. But I remember then they eventually put a lock on the dump, and then you had to have a key, and that felt really exclusive, you know, like
bougie.
I know like the fancy dump trip. And then I think it's closed now, but you know what, now I'm realizing I don't know who went to the Mortlach dump, and I need to get to the bottom of this. We need to find out. We need to get a guest on here that's actually gone to the Mortlach dump and can speak to the Mortlach dump experience.
Yeah, the Karen dump was pretty good. It was quite small. That's all I can remember about it.
Yeah.
I can't remember any like solid garbage finds from there, but I'm sure there was something.
I remember like just looking at the garbage a lot as a kid and just thinking about like, why did that person throw it out? Are they sure that doesn't work? Like, you know, there was just, I just remember that. And then I remember my dad being very concerned that he was going to pick up a nail while we're driving around the dump. That was a big thing. And you know, like to this day, like I like to walk on gravel roads a lot, and I quite often have my head down, and it's not like I'm not sad or anything, but I'm always looking for nails. Like I still have that habit. Like my dad just really ingrained that in us kids to like look out for nails, and like I'm always picking up nails, and I have a little nail bucket in my house here when I find nails, and
that's them. A cute collection.
I eventually do throw them out, like if they're not salvageable, but I do collect old nails, and I feel like every time I pick a nail off the ground, I go, yep, my good deed of the day.
You just saved a tire.
I just saved somebody a headache. Yep, you bet. I feel like this is like very old man of me. My little old nail bucket. Yeah. How long have you been painting for, Aurora? Spoiler! No, actually, it's not a spoiler, because it's been out for like You painted the single artwork for my latest single, Coffee.
Yeah, it's actually drawn in chalk pastel.
Oh, I don't know art. I'm so sorry, but I love it.
That's okay. Aw, thanks. I'm glad you like it. It was stressing me out when I was like going to attempt it because I don't know, things, I like work things up in my mind. I'm like, it's going to take me days to do this. And then I actually sat down and did it and it took me like maybe 2 hours.
Oh,
I was like, oh, that wasn't that bad.
I love the final result. And I have it here in my house. And I think I'm going to get it professionally framed and I'm going to hang it above my little coffee station. I think that's what I'm going to do.
Ah, I love that. Place of honor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really love it.
That mug is so cool. The like textures and the colors in it, like the picture you sent me, is just like so beautiful.
Yeah. So Aurora painted. Sorry, I'm trying. You drew. Ah, what's the right word for the method you used?
Drew it, I think.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. This is also, you know, Mortlach didn't really have any music programs or art programs, okay? And this is why art education is important, dear listener, okay? So think about that when you vote. Anyways, okay, so you drew the artwork and I sent you, because I sent you a picture of like my favorite mug, and I actually bought that mug, I think from an artist in East End. I was driving through there and I found that mug and I just love it because it's little. And what I like about that is I can make my coffee and I can put my coffee in like usually just travel mug. And then I pour myself like a little cup of coffee. That way, you know, you're just keeping it all hot. And I like to drink a full French press to myself. That's what I like to do. And that cup is like, yeah, it's my favorite little buddy. And you know what? One day, probably I'm going to break it, but forever I'll have this drawing.
I think everybody has a favorite coffee mug. I have like a clear mug. It's like glass. And then it has like an etched like teepee on it. But then it also says like teepee in it, like the letters. And I have no idea where it came from. My mom gave it to me, but I liked it so much that I got the like dumb design tattooed on my ankle.
Oh, that's sweet.
And I don't use the mug because I'm too scared to break it. Oh. I like ban everyone in my household from using it.
Is it still in the mug cupboard or is it like on a shelf somewhere else?
It's like hidden in the back of the mug cupboard where like no one can see it.
Oh, I love that. So it's like still, someone could still make the mistake, but they know. But it's like, you know what you need is a glass case.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I'm always talking about how I think like not using things is dumb. And I'm just like realizing right now that me not using it and hiding it is really like a weird way to go about having this object.
Well, I don't know. You know, like cups, like mugs do, they do. I break them quite often. Like I sometimes even when I'm washing them, like I guess what I'm trying to say is I just don't even know my own dang strength. I am so strong. No, I don't, but have you ever done that when you're washing like a glass and you just like, you crack it with your strength and you go, whoa.
I always break my glasses in like a different way. Actually, when I first started dating my fiance, he like had all of his cups and I always bring a glass of water to bed with me. And every night I like sleep, drink water. I don't know, but I would like drink a bunch of water and I would set it on the nightstand and I would leave my hand around it and fall asleep. And then eventually just like roll over and it would smash on the ground. And I must have done, I did, I broke all of his cups. I broke all of them, like every single one.
You know what? I think after hearing that story, I think the way that you are treating the mug you love makes sense. Like the fact that you have it like hidden, I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, like I'm a pretty like chaotic person. I've broken like almost like we use like just these like jars of water now.
Yeah.
Because we buy spaghetti sauce so they get replenished.
No, I love that. We're a mason jar house too. But like, cause like wine glasses like really freak me out. Cause like I love to really wash stuff. Like I love to like aggressively, you know, get in there. And like wine glasses, how do you clean something like that? That's so too, it's too precious for me.
You need like a cup scrubber thing.
Yeah.
Or you just need to like do some deep soothing breaths before washing the cups, maybe.
That is so true. One day I remember, I don't remember what I was angry about, but I was doing the dishes while I was angry. And I was, I don't remember why I was angry, but I remember then I was like wiping a cup around like the rim of it. And I remember like, I just broke off a piece in my hand because I was upset about something. So you've got a really good point. I need to meditate a little bit, stretch. I need to stretch more often, I'm realizing. And then I can do the dishes. Pre-dish stretch.
Or like some whale sounds while you like wash the dishes.
Yeah, no, that's a really good idea. I actually, water sounds. Water sounds, yeah, for sure. Oh, you're helping me work through some stuff today, Aurora.
What I'm here for.
Because honestly, too, like with the mugs, how I break the mugs is I just drop them and the handle goes, you know. And then I have this mug I really like from PEI. My folks and I went out to PEI in 2019. In June 2019, that was like basically my parents, like ever since I was a little wee disc jockey Nash, my whole life they've been like, you need to, like, we want to go to the Maritimes, and then like I remember them going on and on about it one day, and I was just like, I've been hearing this now for like 29 years, right? I was like, let's just book a flight. Like, do you have a little bit of money? Let's just go. And I'm so glad we did, Aurora, because then like there was a pandemic, and also like my folks aren't overly happy about the idea of flying anymore. So I don't know how much they want to do that anymore. But like, yeah, we went to the Maritimes. And that was like such a good, important trip. I never take trips for trips' sake. They're always tour related, you know? Like I never just like go somewhere because I want to. I'm not saying I don't want a tour, but it's like, it's always like if I'm traveling, it's always work related. So to just take my parents to the Maritimes, show them around, drive a car, yeah. But anyways, my mom bought me a mug when we were in PEI, and there was a crack in it. Now I'm like, is this safe for me to keep using it?
I don't know. Definitely don't wash it.
The safest option is don't wash it.
Yeah, you can use it, but definitely don't wash it.
Yeah, no, that's very good. That's very good advice. So you're going to play, if I survive after not washing my mug for like the next like month and a half, you're going to open your band, Dump Babes. You're opening for a show in Amigos in Saskatoon and at the Exchange in Regina. Shameless self-promotion of my shows on my podcast, but hey, it's my show. It's my podcast. I'm allowed to do that. I'm really excited that you're going to be a part of those shows.
Yeah, I'm also really excited. The whole band is. It's going to be really fun to play in Saskatoon again and to play in Regina, which kind of like feels like a weird second home in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of buds there. So I'm excited. Are we still going to, is it going to be a game show?
Oh, yeah. I actually, this is embarrassing. I forgot about that. Should it be?
I don't know.
I was really, yeah, at Chesterfest, I remember like we were getting up to play our set and somebody put a bunch of t-shirts on the edge of the stage and they said, you can throw these out. And I was like, what? And I was wearing the suit and then it got very game showy.
It was excellent. It was a game show I would it was a game show I would definitely watch on Farmer Vision, staying sick, staying at home sick from Mortlock School.
Yeah. That's a, every time I put any something on the internet, I go, someone's gonna watch this when they are sick on the farm when they can't go to Mortlock School. that's the only reason why I put anything on YouTube, is because I'm like, this is gonna this is gonna help someone.
Changing lives, healing soul.
Yep. So when you're touring, what's your favorite snack? Like, what's your favorite road snack? Gas station, you're stopping at a gas station. What are you reaching for?
Oh my gosh. Okay. The only actual tour that I've ever been on was with the Faps.
I love them.
I don't know if it's my favorite snack, but we ate a lot of ramen because we found it for 5 cents a pack and we were like really broke. But actually, okay, my favorite snack on that tour was when we would buy 2 liters of chocolate almond milk. And then we would all just like have to drink it right away because it didn't have cooler. We were camping for most of it, and I brought the only camping supplies, and the only camping supplies I bought was a can opener and like a really large steak knife and a French press, actually. And that was the only like any kind of gear that we had was like those 3 items. We cooked all of our meals with those.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing. Okay. So besides the 2 liters,
I can't believe we're still alive either.
Besides a 2 liter carton of almond milk, of chocolate almond milk, what else do you like what else did you like? And 5 cent ramen. What's another go-to snack of yours?
Go-to snack of mine. I'm really into like boursin cheese. Like that's on my grocery list every week for sure.
Are you gonna take that on the road?
I probably would.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, actually, I've been really into Miss Vicky's like spicy dill pickle chips.
Yes.
I like cannot stop eating them to save my life.
Do you like cut them with the dip at all, or do you just like? Are you just having them plain? Like, because I eat them with sour cream. Full disclosure, I eat them with sour cream.
Are they too spicy for you?
They're not.
Oh, these got some heat to them.
It's not like they're too spicy. I just love sour cream so much. I think for me, it's more about my love of cream than about too much spice. Like,
Actually, that's crazy because I also love sour cream like an insane amount. Like I'll just eat that with like a spoon.
Yeah. If we have sour cream for any meal, it's like my partner, he knows too. It's like that spoon's just not going in the sink. It's like he like finds me like Megan, you know, like, and I have to lick that spoon.
I don't like cottage cheese though. I think they're very different beasts.
See, I also love cottage cheese.
I can't do it. I'm a sour cream purist.
Well, on that note, pal, we're at time.
Oh, that's fair.
Thank you so much, Aurora. You take care.
Yeah, you too.
This conversation really warmed my heart. Thank you so much, Aurora. You're rad. Dear listener, please check out her band at dumpbabes.bandcamp.com. You've been listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Creative City Center is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, Sask Arts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. This podcast is made possible because of their ongoing support. Special thank you to the Garys for the use of their song Burger Boy as the theme music that you're listening to right now. The Creative City Center is a community-based art center that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are a home for a lot of online productions, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they're cooking up besides all this pep and ched with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.